In 1971, President Richard Nixon stood before the nation and declared war on cancer with the same confidence America had brought to the moon landing just 2 years earlier. Victory seemed inevitable. Fast forward 5 decades, and the scoreboard tells a devastating story. While heart disease deaths plummeted by 17%, cancer deaths surged 84%. We've spent billions. The National Cancer Institute alone commands a $5.74 billion annual budget. Yet cancer remains as formidable as ever. This isn't just a medical failure. It's a conceptual one. We've been fighting the wrong battle, attacking cancer's strength, growth, rather than understanding its nature. What if everything we thought we knew about cancer was incomplete? What if this ancient disease isn't a modern malfunction, but an evolutionary echo, a reversion to our cellular past that's been hiding in plain sight all along? Cancer has haunted humanity since before recorded history. Hippocrates named it carcinos, crab, for the way tumors extend tendrils throughout the body. For millennia, physicians treated it as a systemic disease, an imbalance of bodily humors. Then microscopes revealed its cellular origins in the 1830s, launching Cancer Understanding 1.0, a disease of excessive growth requiring aggressive elimination. This paradigm birthed increasingly brutal treatments. Dr. William Halsted pioneered radical mastectomies, removing tumors, chest muscles, and lymph nodes. Radiation therapy emerged within a year of Wilhelm Röntgen discovering X-rays in 1895. Chemical warfare gave us chemotherapy. When mustard gas proved to selectively destroy bone marrow, Yale doctors secretly treated a patient in 1942 with a derivative, producing miraculous, though temporary, remission. These approaches attacked growth itself through cutting, burning, or poisoning. While they represented genuine medical progress, they never asked, why does this uncontrolled growth happen? That question would spark the next revolution, one that seemed promising but ultimately led us down a genetic rabbit hole. By the 1970s, cancer was reframed as a genetic disease. Researchers identified oncogenes, stuck accelerators, and tumor suppressor genes, failed brakes. The Philadelphia chromosome in leukemia provided proof. A genetic abnormality produced a protein keeping growth permanently on. Gleevec blocked this protein, clearing 95% of early-stage patients of leukemic cells. Herceptin achieved similar success for HER2-positive breast cancers, reducing deaths by one-third. The Human Genome Project 2000 and the $1.35 billion Cancer Genome Atlas promised unprecedented breakthroughs. Yet results disappointed. Between 2002 to 2014, 72 new cancer drugs extended life by just 2.1 months on average. Twin studies revealed genetics accounts for only 27% of cancer risk. Environmental factors contribute 73%. Most perplexing, up to 80% of normal esophageal cells in cancer-free individuals contained the Notch1 oncogene found in esophageal cancers. The denominator problem exposed the flaw. We cataloged mutations in cancer cells without asking how many normal cells had identical mutations without becoming cancerous. Genetic mutations aren't the root cause, they're the mechanism. Something deeper was driving these changes. In 2009, physicist Paul Davies and astrobiologist Charlie Lineweaver recognized something profound. Cancer's presence across all multicellular life suggests it's not random error, but an ancient survival program. Life began 3.8 billion years ago with self-replicating cells driven by one directive: replicate. They needed growth, energy, and mobility, cancer's exact hallmarks. Then, 1.7 billion years ago, cells began cooperating to form multicellular organisms, suppressing selfish behavior through controlled growth, programmed death, and efficient energy use. Evolution didn't erase ancient single-cell programming, it suppressed it. Cancer represents cells reverting to unicellular behavior when cooperation fails. Research categorizing human genes into evolutionary layers confirms this. cancer cells preferentially activate ancient genes while silencing cooperation genes. The more aggressive the cancer, the more primitive its gene expression. Our immune system recognizes this transformation, treating cancer cells as foreign invaders. Because evolved from our own cells, cancer becomes alien, redirecting resources and adapting like a parasitic organism. For decades, researchers pursued dietary dead ends, blaming fat, fiber deficiency, or missing vitamins. Studies costing hundreds of millions established what cancer isn't caused by, but struggled to identify actual dietary promoters. Then the pattern emerged. Obesity accounts for 20-30% of common cancers, with dramatically elevated risks. Liver cancer up 452%, pancreatic cancer up 261%. Even mild weight gain, 11 pounds, increases breast cancer risk by 11%. The common thread? Hyperinsulinemia, excessive insulin in the blood. Breast cancer cells express 6 times the insulin receptors of normal tissue. High insulin levels increase colorectal cancer risk up to 292%. Even non-obese people with high insulin face 250% increased cancer risk. The dietary factor most influencing cancer isn't fiber, fat, or vitamins. It's insulin stimulation. Insulin evolved as both growth hormone and nutrient sensor. When we eat, insulin rises, signaling growth. When food is scarce, insulin falls, promoting repair. This ancient system, designed for feast-famine cycles, malfunctions with constant food availability. Cancer requires chronic but sublethal cellular damage. Too much damage kills cells, too little gets repaired. But chronic sublethal damage, from constant insulin stimulation, persistent inflammation, or ongoing toxic exposure, triggers growth signals that eventually overwhelm cellular controls. Previous cancer paradigms failed by attacking cancer strengths. Chemotherapy targeted excessive growth, but cancer evolved resistance. The evolutionary approach suggests a radically different strategy, enhancing our immune defenses rather than directly attacking cancer cells. Immunology builds on early observations that tuberculosis patients had 60% lower cancer risk, suggesting immune activation protected against cancer. Nobel laureate James Allison discovered that T cells have a kill switch called CTLA-4 that cancer exploits. His antibody, ipilimumab, blocks this switch, unleashing T cells against cancer. Over 20% of metastatic melanoma patients previously facing near-certain death survived 10 years after just 3 months of treatment. Adaptive therapy challenges conventional maximum-dose approaches. Instead of trying to kill every cancer cell, it manages cancer populations strategically, using lower doses only when activity exceeds certain thresholds. This improved survival by 64% while using less than half the chemotherapy, recognizing that eradication attempts create intense selective pressure favoring resistant cells. Cancer's metabolic vulnerabilities also offer opportunities. The Warburg effect, cancer's reliance on inefficient glycolysis, provides both energy and building blocks for rapid growth. Yet this dependence creates exploitable weaknesses. Reducing insulin stimulation through dietary changes, intermittent fasting, or metabolic interventions may starve cancer of required growth signals. Cancer has resisted medical efforts because we misunderstood its nature. While we conquered infectious diseases and genetic disorders, cancer eluded us because we viewed it as a forward mutation rather than an evolutionary throwback to our unicellular origins. This reframing offers unprecedented hope. Cancer exploits ancient survival programming rather than creating new pathways, responding to metabolic signals we can control. Chronic damage from modern environments, constant food availability, persistent inflammation, toxic exposures, activates ancient programs never meant to run in multicellular bodies. This knowledge empowers us beyond genetic fatalism. While we can't change our DNA, we can modify the conditions in which cancer seeds grow. We can reduce insulin stimulation through diet, minimize inflammation through lifestyle changes, and leverage our immune system's natural abilities. Most importantly, we can shift from attacking cancer's strength to exploiting its weaknesses, its metabolic dependencies, immune vulnerabilities, and evolutionary constraints. The war on cancer isn't won, but we're finally fighting the right battle. For everyone touched by this disease, genuine hope emerges as we understand what we once considered medicine's deepest mystery.